Lamentation chapter number 3, if you will stand with me, Lamentation chapter 3, and that's somewhere in the Old Testament, page 837, if you have Old Schofield. If you don't, I don't know what to tell you, amen. Lamentation chapter number 3, and look with me in verse number 51. If you're glad you're saved, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to try to help you tonight, and I know every preacher thinks this, and says this about a sermon or a message they may preach, but if you could get a hold of the message that I'm going to preach to you tonight, it would take this church to another level, and it would take your family to another level. And I can't, as a pastor, I can't drag our church there. Your preacher can't drag you to the area where I'm talking about tonight, but you can get yourself to where I'm talking about tonight if you want it. Lamentation chapter 3. The Bible says in verse number 51, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies chase me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon." Verse number 55. "I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the dungeon," out of the low dungeon. Lamentation chapter 3, verse number 55. "I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee, and thou saidest, fear not." Now, I just preached to you tonight on how to get close to God. I think a lot of Christians in our churches, they never really know what it is to get close to God. They come to church, they're faithful, but they never get in that place with God where they really have no doubt about it. And I want to try to help you find that place tonight and give you some things to help you in your life. See, if everybody could get there, everybody can get there. But if it was easy to get there, everybody would be there. But it's on us. Well, the Bible says in verse number 57, "Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not." I want to preach to you tonight on draw nigh to God. He's already drawn nigh to you. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, God, that you'd help some folks. And Lord, I pray that you would just do a work in our lives that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot of brokenness in our society. You know that. I mean, all you have to do is just be around people just for a little bit in our churches. I mean, there are people that are struggling today in our churches, and marriages are struggling. Parents are struggling with their children, and they're looking for answers, and they think, well, I'm taking them to church. I'm trying to do right, and we're still battling all these battles. And all around us, society has all these answers, and they say, well, better education. We need to educate them more. We need more money for this and more money for that. And the more we educate, the stupider we get. Let's just say amen right there. I mean, we're such geniuses in America that we can't even decipher what a boy and a girl is. Isn't that amazing how smart we've gotten? I mean, it blows my mind how intelligent we've become in the United States of America. And but anyways, we're in a mess. I mean, you can just look at the average government school today and what it's producing and understand that we're in a mess. Amen. And the brokenness and just what's going on. I read another day a couple weeks ago that over in Roanoke, Texas, they were having a drag queen hour at a restaurant where they had 30 kids in there and had drag queens performing for them. That's just right here in North Texas. And I thought, how in the world does something like that take place in the great state of Texas? Amen. And but it is, I mean, it's happening everywhere. Listen to me. If you're a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, listen, we are in a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual war. And here's what I've come to understand is that young people are facing so much wickedness in their life that I cannot help them as a pastor. I can't help them as a Christian worker in my own flesh. I cannot do it. I can't give them the right testimony or the right illustration or the right game or the right whatever. I've got to have God on my life. The reason why we are failing in our churches today is because we are performing because we have abilities, but we're not 100% dependent upon God to do what God can do. I mean, listen, listen, he wants to use you. But guess what? He wants you to know that without him, we can do nothing. Amen. I say to you, the reason we're losing this battle in America is because Christians have no power. We have no influence, and we won't pay the price or do what it takes to get ourselves to a place where God can put his hand on our life and touch us. Hey, listen, Jeremiah's in prison. How did Jeremiah, could you turn this up just a little bit, please? How did he get through that, all that he went through, the preaching, and he preached and nobody listened. He said, hey, let me tell you, God said, see and ask for the old path. And they said, we're not going to walk that. I mean, that's just right in your face, preacher. I don't care what you preach, I'm not listening to it. That's the way it was for much of his ministry. They mocked him. They put him in prison, and he kept preaching. He couldn't quit. He says there in Jeremiah 23, he said, I wanted to quit, thought the Lord deceived me, but his word was like a fire inside of me, stirred me up, and he said, I can't quit. And I'm saying, listen, in this day in which we live, we cannot quit. We cannot give up. And I'm going to tell you the way that's going to help us keep going is we got to get close to the one who can keep us going. Jeremiah was in prison, and he's remembering back a little bit as he's praying here, and he was attacked for preaching. He was put in prison for preaching, and he was not living in the best days to be a preacher. We preachers today got it pretty easy. I hadn't been to jail yet for preaching the gospel. Amen. I hadn't been to jail yet for preaching on convictions and Bible truth. I mean, it might be coming, but I've not been there yet. Jeremiah was there. I don't know what you're facing this evening, Christian. I don't know what you're going through. You might be in a dungeon of despair. You might be bound up by sin tonight. You might be feeling lonely. You might be feeling angry. Listen, there's no telling. You might be feeling powerless, but I'm going to just tell you this. If you'll just decide that you're going to draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. I say this to you. Most Christians probably really just don't care. But you're here on a Sunday night. And I say most of you probably do care. How close do you want to be to him tonight? How close do you want to be to God? I always think about this. Come here, Josiah. We're just going to let him be God tonight. I almost feel blasphemous saying that. But you know what? In Psalm, the Bible says this, in his presence is the fullness of what? Joy. You might say, well, I just don't have any joy. You know what you're telling me? You're not in his presence. You understand that everything as a believer that I need can be found in the presence of God. Everything I need. Listen, there's nothing. You say, preacher, I'm going through some bad, rocky moments in my marriage. Hey, there's nothing that you need right now in your life that you cannot get a hold of in the presence of God. Preacher, I got a rebellious child and they're not listening and they're going away from God and I don't know what to do with them. There's nothing that you need tonight that you cannot get in the presence of God. You say, preacher, our finances, we're in a mess and I don't know how to get my head back above water. There is nothing. Nothing that you need tonight that you cannot get in the presence of God. Anything you need, you think about it. Moses, when he saw God on the backside of the desert, in that burning bush, and God said, hey, Moses, I want you to go to my people and I want you to deliver them. And Moses is talking to God. He says, Lord, I can't do this. God said, yeah, you might not be able to, but you can do it with me. Are y'all with me tonight? Y'all know the story? And so he goes to Pharaoh and he says, hey, Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, I don't know your God. He said, let him go. God said he's going to judge this place. And you understand that every time, hey, Moses knew in himself he couldn't do anything. He was powerless. Can I say to you tonight that I'm powerless without him and you're powerless without God? And, hey, listen, mom and daddy, you know what we need in the home? We need mom and daddy to decide that I'm going to do what it takes to get close to God because, hey, without him, I can do nothing. Amen. And Moses would go to Pharaoh and he would battle Pharaoh and then he would go back to God and then he would go back to Pharaoh and battle Pharaoh and he'd go back to God and he'd go back to Pharaoh and battle Pharaoh and every time he had a battle with Pharaoh, he'd go back to God and get an answer and go back to Pharaoh. And can I say to you, friend, that's where the power for our Christian life comes from. They came out of Egypt and they went to the Red Sea, and here's a Red Sea and they can't get across it, and there's a problem. People begin complaining and murmuring, and God, Moses goes to God and he says, God, what do I do? And God told him what to do. They get across the Red Sea just a couple of days later and there's no water. And he says, Lord, what do I do? And he goes to God and God tells him what to do. No bread. He goes to God and God tells him what to do. Do you understand, Christian, that, listen, everything that you and I need tonight, we can find right here in the presence of God. And I think you want to be there. Let me give you a couple of things tonight. You can be seated for just a minute. I think in our mind, here's what we think. We think that it's impossible. We think, Brother Ogden, that it's impossible to be close to Him. We hear preachers preach about it. And this is what we have in our mind. Our mind is we think, I don't want you to catch me, I just want you to follow me. We think this is God, okay, and that's me, and we think that God's just trying to stay just out of our reach. I mean, we can almost get close to Him, but He's just trying to stay just away from us, and we're trying to chase God. And God's saying, you just keep on coming. This is what I want. I want you to just follow. And by the way, He does want us following after Him. But I'm going to tell you, friend, listen, God's not running from you tonight. He's not running from you. He wants to be close to you. You can sit down. Look at your Bible. Let me give you a couple of thoughts tonight. And I'm not going to preach long, but I got to show you these things. And man, I hope it helps you. James 4, you don't have to turn here, but James 4:8 says this, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. God wants to do that. Are you with me? He wants to be close to you tonight. Josiah, if you'll go over by that door. Here I am as a believer, as an individual, let's just say. And this is God over there. Do you know that He desires to be close to you, church? He desires that. And can I say to you, when God sent His Son to die on the cross at Calvary for your sins and my sins, He took one step towards you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18, He says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Listen, when God sent His Son, you know what He did? When God sent His Son to die on the cross at Calvary for your sins and for my sins, He took a step towards me. And I say not only that, but when God gave us His church, listen, when God gave us His church and Jesus Christ started the church, Bible says, Matthew 16:18, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave of thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. You know what God did? He gave us the house of work. He gave us the church so that we could get closer to Him. And when Jesus started that church, He took a step towards me. When Jesus started the church, He took a step towards you. Hey, listen, can I say to you tonight that Jesus stepped towards you and I whenever He sent us His Son, His Spirit. The Bible says in John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Are you listening to me? Whenever He sent His Spirit, Jesus went away, ascended up into heaven, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came. And when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. And when He sent His Spirit, He took a step towards me. And I say, whenever He gave us His Word, amen. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. When God gave us this preserved Word, hey, listen, God took a step towards me. He took a step toward you. Hey, can I say to you, when God gave us preachers, the Bible says, how shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Thank God for preachers tonight. Somebody say amen. And when God sent preachers and he started calling preachers, he chose the foolishness of preaching. Amen. He took a step towards us. You understand that God is stepping towards you? Hey, you know what? The Bible says there in Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 20. Jesus is talking to the church, by the way. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear and will open, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Go ahead and step right over here. Here's what I want you to understand tonight. He's already done everything that he has to do for you to be close to him. We're going to come to the altar tonight and we're going to say, God, help me get close to you. God's saying, I already did everything I need to do. He's already done everything he needs to do. And listen, we have Christians that come to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And in the back of their mind, the only reason why they ever fall out is if they ever had it settled, they would never, never walk away from God and serving God. If they knew that they knew that God was real. And can I tell you, all you got to do is get in his presence just a little bit. And there will be no doubt in your life that, hey, listen, it's not a fake. It's not a phony. It's not a show. Hey. He's real, amen. Just most Christians never get there. Most Christians, I would say probably 95% of believers in America never really truly get into the presence of God with their life. But this church doesn't have to be that way. Can I say, he's already done everything he needs to do. July of 1982, I got saved. When I got saved, I would say probably most of you tonight probably say, preacher, I know I'm saved, no doubt about it. When you got saved, you took a step towards God. Ain't that a blessing? You're already on your way, amen. Hey, listen, not only when you got saved, but listen, being faithful to the house of God is going to help you take a step towards God. You're here on Sunday night. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. You understand, coming to the house of God and letting the preacher beat us up from the pulpit sometimes and help us other times and comfort us other times. Hey, that's helping us get closer to him. Amen. Not to mention the way it's supposed to be, the fellowship of the brethren, encouraging one another. And can I tell you, Sunday night church crowd and Wednesday night church crowd, we got this part. We got the salvation part. We got it. We've got the going to church part. We got it. Amen. You're here tonight. You can say amen. But now we start kind of, this is where we start missing the mark. Number three, I'm talking about stepping towards God. You step towards God when you trust Christ as your Savior. You step towards God when you're faithful to the church. You step towards God. He said in James 4:8, listen, he says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We step towards God when we say no to sinful things. Are you listening to me, church? Because I'm just going to preach to Sunday night church folks for a minute. Because you know, if the preacher gets up and he preaches about alcohol, we're going to say amen. I mean, if he preaches about adultery or fornication, we're going to say amen. Take your Bible and look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm talking about saying no to the flesh. The Bible says, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Look in Ephesians chapter number 4 with me real quick. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm not going to tell y'all to say amen when you get there because I don't want to make Miss Kelly nervous. Can I say that most, I just believe this. I mean, and you can disagree with me, you'd be wrong about that too. But I'd say most Christians that are good people that are going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, right here when it comes to saying no to the flesh, and grieving the Spirit of God in our life is where we miss it. Look what he says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Listen, if God tells us to do something and we don't do it, that's what? And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I wonder how many believers quench the Spirit of God right here. We don't control this. Gossip, criticism, critical, negative. Are y'all with me? I mean, this is Sunday night preaching right here. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now pay attention. Grieve not. Grieve not. Hey, question. How could you possibly be close to God in your life if you're grieving the Spirit of God in your life? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And then watch what he says. And let all what? And let all what? And let all what? Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Listen to me, church. Right here, I would say unforgiveness and bitterness in our hearts. If there is anybody in this room tonight, and preacher hasn't told me about anything, and I don't know if there is, but I'm just going to tell you, if there's anything in this room tonight in your heart against anybody else in this room tonight, you're not right with God, and you'll never be in the presence of God until you deal with it. You never will. He said, preacher, why would you say it? Brother Jeremy said, listen, I pastor a church too. And what's amazing, I preached about forgiveness a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night. And I said, listen, my wife here, she'll testify. I said, listen, I'm preaching on forgiveness tonight. And I said, it will not matter as hard as I preach. Listen, you are not the exception to the rule. God forgave you. You're to forgive others. Somebody ought to say amen. You're not the exception. And I said, no matter. I said, listen, I am telling you right now that you're not the exception to the rule, that nobody in this auditorium is exception to the rule, that you're to forgive people if they say something negative, they talk about you, don't matter, pray for them, because that's what God says to do. You got a whole Bible, I can prove it to you out of the Word of God. And I said, but here's the crazy thing, I'm preaching about it tonight, and before Sunday comes, somebody's going to call and tell me they're upset with somebody else because they said this or they said that, and it won't even matter to you what I'm preaching because you're not even listening. Man, that was Wednesday night. Thursday morning, 8 o'clock, my phone started blowing up. Women mad at each other. Running their mouth. Somebody say amen. And I was like, what were you doing last night in church? Because here's what our mind does. We deserve to be able to be bitter at them because they hurt me. Let me tell you something, church. You're hurting yourself more by not forgiving because you're keeping yourself away from the one that really does matter in your life. This is what's keeping our church from truly, listen, from truly being in the presence of God, is bitterness and unforgiveness. He said, well, it didn't say anything about forgiveness in there. It said, let all bitterness, verse number next, look there. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Listen, when I can say no to the flesh, I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not putting that in my mouth. There's a lot of things that we could say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. It wouldn't send you to hell. Yeah, but there's a lot of things that we could do. They may not send us to hell, but they'll keep us from getting right there. Feeding the flesh. Can I say next is, when you make a decision that you're going to let the Spirit of God lead you in your life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Have a life where you're submitted to the Spirit of God in your life. God says, pass out a gospel tract. Just give it out a gospel tract. Just say, yes, Lord, whatever you want. Let God lead you. Can I say to you, when you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, he said, I'm not quenching the Spirit. I'm not grieving the Spirit. You're stepping towards God. When you get into this book right here and you read His Word, you're taking a step towards God. The Bible says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." How in the world could you get close to Him without letting Him light the way? Amen. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy Word." Listen, that book right there, that is God's Word. Amen. And when I make a commitment that every day, not just some days, not just when I feel like it, but every day, I'm going to get up and spend time in this book. And it's amazing that we can preach it over and over and over. It amazes me how little time that we spend in the Word of God. Hey, listen, and we can do everything else. We can read everything about sports. We can read about everything that's going on in other people's lives on Facebook. We can read everything else. And none of that stuff, it might not even be bad, but none of that stuff is getting you closer to God.
Amen.
Do you understand that you can read through the Bible in 15 minutes a day? It's amazing. I read through the Bible between 4 and 5 times a year. That's only 1 hour a day of reading. We spend more time in that in sports. Somebody help me. Hey, listen, we spend more time in that playing video games. And I'm not just talking to the young people. I mean, listen, there's senior saints that got addicted. It's amazing to me that I used to, them kids, they don't do nothing but stay on them phones and stay on them video games all the time. And I'm walking past older people in the church and they're sitting there playing Candy Crush. Somebody say amen. Or solitaire. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Listen, you're 75 years old. That's how I relax in the evening time. How about just getting alone with God? That'll help us relax. You know, I'll tell you what else to do to get us closer to Him. And I say to you, listen, here's what Jeremiah said over there in Lamentations. He said this. He said, verse 56, "Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee." We sing about praying. We sing about sweet hour of prayer, but most Christians never even really know what an hour of prayer is. We sing about it. But I tell you what, when you decide that God is the most important person, most important thing in your life, you're going to make time for Him. I'll give you another one, and I'm almost done. And I think this is a big one. When I get my music right, it helps me get closer to God. Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God." He says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Well, as a teenage boy, I got saved at 6, but I didn't really surrender my life completely to God until I was 16. And when I was a teenage boy, I used to listen to 96.3 KSCS. Anybody know that station? Oh, you just told on yourself. And every yes, I ain't raising my hand, praise God. Every night, listen, teenage boy, every night on the radio, "Crying, Loving, or Leaving." That bring back memories for anybody? Just be honest. I know I'm in Texas. And man, I used to listen and, "Oh, I just want to call and just want to dedicate this song to Jim Bob and just want to thank Jim Bob for all the years we had together." It's terrible. Man, I'm a teenage boy laying in bed and I'm just crying all these broken hearts, listening to this dumb music. It's terrible. And I say to you, I'm in Texas country, so I get where I'm at. Country music's not going to send you to hell, but it's going to keep you from getting close to God. You're not going to listen to it and be close to God. I'm just telling you. You can say, "Well, I was driving down the road one time, and a couple of deacons in the truck, and they had K-Love listening to oldies on there. So now, Dave, I know how you feel about this, but I've been married this many years, and I ain't cheated on my wife yet." Well, guess what? Probably didn't. Probably never will. But I tell you something: you can't listen to that. That music is not going to get you close to God. Amen. It won't. If it's going to keep me from getting there, and I'm not picking on you tonight, but I'm going to tell you, church, right here, if He is the one that can help me raise a family, if He is the one that can supply all my needs, If he is the one that can take care and give me the wisdom that I need to deal with problems in my life, to help my marriage be what I want it to be, if he is the one, why would I not do what it takes to be close to him? Listen, we can blame it on the preacher. We can blame it on our society. And we can say, well, I've prayed. No, listen to me. God has done everything that God needs to do to be close to you and I. What are we going to do to get close to him? Do you want to be close to him? You can be seated. It's up to you. Listen, I wish I could drag my children and say, I want to just tell you how it is right here. I just want you to get in here with me, and I want you to pray with me, and I want you to be in this place when God shows up, and I just wish I could get you in here and experience this, but I cannot get my kids in that place. I can't get my church. Man, if I could get my church in this place and say, hey, listen, just come along for a little while and get up and get in prayer with me, just let God show up and listen, and every day spend time with him, and I could drag them to the presence of God with me, man, that would be a great thing. But I can't. And your preacher can't get you here either. But you can. And it's not nearly as hard as everybody thinks it is. You've got to make a decision that you want to be close to him.